This morning, another in our series of outtakes, a look at maybe implications of the economic downturn that aren't in the headlines and aren't part of the persistent metaphors that we hear all the time. Of course, every phrase, it seems, in common discourse begins with "in these dark economic times" or "not since the Depression." But those comparisons maybe aren't as apt as thinking on the longer arcs of history. And joining us to talk about maybe what this economic downturn is more related to historically is Scott Nelson, professor of history at the College of William and Mary. He joins us from Richmond, Virginia. Scott, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
There is a long depression that began in 1873, which you have spoken to actually securities experts as recently as a convention out in Las Vegas about this 1873 event being much more apt as a comparison. First of all, why is it called the Long Depression and what actually happened?
Well, my grandmother's person who actually first told me about it. It started in 1873. It was a huge financial crash. Started with basically bank failures, mortgage-backed securities throughout Europe. A whole new collection of banks are created. They fail. It leads to a kind of cascade of failures across Europe and hits the U.S. in about the fall of 1873.
And
it's a nasty one.
And who was holding assets at the time? In other words, how did this get distributed through the population? I mean, if we look now at the securities that are so affected in the various banks, it's mortgages that came from citizens, then went to other banks all around the world and are kind of deposited in various and sundry places. How did it get distributed in 1873?
Well, what happens is the interbank lending rate goes up. You see the Bank of England is particularly concerned about these new banks that are forming and that had formed in Vienna, in Berlin, and in Paris. And they start to raise the rate. It gets to 0.5% a day to borrow from another bank. And when this happens, you see credit crunches that kind of cascade from country to country.
And so what happened in 1873 was there was a lot of prosperity. There was kind of a bubble. And riding that bubble, financial institutions decided to be created to sort of join the party. And when things reversed, all of a sudden these banks were just ghosts.
Yeah. And so the sort of 1870s version of the CDO, the collateralized debt obligation, was these sort of gilt-edged bonds issued by railroads in the U.S. that seemed to be worth something. People believed that there was a kind of underlying value. And then when this interbank lending rate goes up, when the money markets tighten up, then it becomes clear that these bonds are really kind of worthless. And this lots of people start to distrust banks, and people are pulling money out like crazies, storing it under mattresses, of course, in the 1870s. Or going straight.
So that was the hedge.
Treasury.
That was the flight to quality, storing it under mattresses.
The flight to quality is gold under your mattress, right? And that tightness in capital markets is kind of what we see now. The interbank lending rate. We saw our panic, our depression, sort of start probably in October of last year. But the interbank lending rate was very, very high for about 6 months before that. That's when you could really see the pressure building.
So that was really, really the indicator. What was done to deal with that crisis? And are there any of the levers that were used in 1873, or maybe they botched it completely, to help us today?
In the U.S., very little. U.S. Grant kind of throws a little bit of money into the banking system. It doesn't do very much. What happens in much of Europe is this rise in tariffs. And so what you see is a free trade environment up to 1873, say from 1850s to 1870s. Every country in Europe and much of the rest of the world has got free trade. But what they do is put up these tariff barriers and block the cheap imports. The cheap imports that they're scared about in the 1870s are cheap American imports of wheat and kerosene and beef and things like that.
So we were the China of that era.
We were the China, yeah. And the sort of – instead of container ships, we were sending cheap wheat and cheap beef over. And this undermines the – international trade in Europe.
It wasn't the Suez Canal. It was the Erie Canal back then. Well then,
right.
So how long did it take to come out of that crisis? And do you see this impulse to eliminate global free trade in the form of tariffs, or we've already had a Buy American clause debated in the stimulus package? Do you see that coming globally?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's you do see that. I mean, there's in Russia, you see lots of protests in Bulgaria, in France, Greece has seen probably the worst of these kinds of protests. But lots and lots of folks talking about raising tariff barriers. Sarkozy, of course, saying that he wants to repatriate jobs from the Czech Republic, bring those jobs back.
And the implication of that will be to prolong the crisis if 1873 is a model.
Probably. It takes Europe about 7 or 8 years to recover from this crisis. The U.S. recovers a little bit more quickly, about 4 or 5 years, partly because we've got a new export. This cheap beef and cheap canned fruits are kind of still spreading around the world.
But cheap fruit and cheap beef isn't going to save us this time. Professor Scott Nelson, thanks so much for joining us with that outtake that the model for this economic downturn may go back to 1873. Scott Nelson is a professor of history at the College of William and Mary, and he joined us from Richmond, Virginia. That was one in our outtake series, an examination of what's in the news by thinkers and voices you probably aren't hearing anywhere else.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.